Astronomerica presents A Spacewalk Among the Stars. Tonight's main target is the pair of bright and popular galaxies in the constellation Ursa Major, the Great Bear. These galaxies are known as M81 and M82, and a couple of their neighbors that are also considered part of the M81 galaxy group. M81 and 82 are numbers 81 and 82 in Charles Messier's catalog of celestial objects, which he compiled to help differentiate such mundane objects from his real quarry, comets. Okay, so he'd rather look for dirty ice balls in our solar system than gaze at massive galaxies millions of light years away containing billions of stars and huge swirls of gas and dust. To each his own. Tonight we'll travel well beyond our solar system, well beyond our own Milky Way galaxy, in fact, some 12 million light years away. So I hope you've got your telescope set up and have a good clear night with a steady atmosphere. For most astronomical objects, and especially nebulae and distant galaxies, it really helps to have a nice dark and transparent sky. But you'd be surprised how many objects observers can see even with a small telescope in an urban sky. Still, when you're out in darker skies, the view improves so much, it's hard to observe again from the middle of all that light pollution. If only we were sensible enough as a whole to be more careful with the lights that we so indiscriminately point upward into the sky instead of downward onto the ground where they're needed. It's not only the money and energy wasted, but also the loss of this incredible night sky that unfortunately means so little to some people. Hopefully it'll show some of its hidden secrets to you tonight. But you're probably getting a little impatient, so let's get moving and start our journey. If you're using a telescope with go-to control, you can align it while I'm discussing our path to the galaxies, or you can fast forward, or just turn the go-to control off and follow along with me. It's always very rewarding to see the sights along the way to your destination. And we'll be traversing an interesting bit of the cosmos tonight. If you've got a chart, feel free to pause the recording and take a detour when and where you please. I always feel like a kid in a candy store out under the stars. So many fantastic objects out there. Well, we're going to start from a familiar asterism. An asterism is a group of bright stars. In this case, it's not a full constellation, but just a part of one, but a very familiar part. I'm talking about the Big Dipper, or as it's known in the UK, the Plow. This is actually just part of the constellation Ursa Major, or the Great Bear. If you trace it out from traditional pictures, you'll see it's a great bear with an unusually long tail. Depending on your latitude, if you're in the northern hemisphere, the Dipper is circumpolar, or nearly so. And that means it's always above the horizon as the Earth rotates through the night. The Dipper seems to move around the north celestial pole, which is marked very nearly exactly by the north star, Polaris. Unless the Dipper is below your horizon, or nearly laying on the horizon, or off to the west, or left of Polaris, and appearing to pour its contents out onto the ground, it should be positioned pretty well for observing M81 and M82. The best season to view these galaxies in the evening is from February through about July, but you can usually find a time to view them just about any month. So find the Dipper. We'll be starting from the star at the end of the bowl. That's Dubi, which means bear in Arabic, also known as Alpha Ursae Majoris, and it's the second of two pointer stars that are often used as a guide to finding Polaris, the North Star. The genitive case, by the way, is used for a constellation name when identifying a star within it, so that's why it sounds a little different. So anyway, go ahead, point your telescope toward Dubi, getting it first in the finder scope, and then in the main eyepiece. And of course you remembered to line up your finder scope with the main telescope before we started. If not, just pause the recording for a minute here and get lined up. When moving around to locate objects, it's usually best to start with a low power eyepiece with a wider field of view. So if you have one like that, put it in for now. The higher the number of millimeters focal length of an eyepiece, the lower the power. Dubi is a yellow-white star of magnitude 1.8, and it's about 124 light-years away. It looks slightly yellow to me in the telescope, and indeed its spectrum does shade towards the yellow side. There's a 7.1 magnitude star at a little over 6 arc minutes distance toward the south-southwest, or about the 5 o'clock position, with west being 12 o'clock. This dimmer star is physically associated with Dubi and bears the designation Dubi C. It's the nearest bright star in your telescope to Dubi. By the way, many moons ago, Dubi was the pole star, and it'll be the pole star again in about 18,000 years. It's a big boy, at about 30 times the diameter of the Sun. It's also got a faint companion star extremely close in, at about half an arc second, but you'll have a tough time seeing that in a backyard telescope, even a large one. It's so close. The orbit is widening, the apparent separation slightly, though. Now is a good time to get your directional bearings. Put Dubi in the center of the field of view, turn off any tracking, and see what direction the star drifts toward. Give it a minute or so. Especially in low power, it might take a while. Well, that direction, the direction toward which it's drifting, is west. And that'll always be the case in your telescope. Going clockwise from west, 90 degrees is south, roughly toward Dubi C, then east, which is 180 degrees from west, then north, and then back to west. I'll be using compass directions like these at times to guide you along. Just remember, the stars drift westward. We'll also refer to a clock face for directions where it's a little bit easier, 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and so on. To give you an idea of where we're headed, look up with the unaided eye and find Dubi and the other pointer star in the bowl end of the dipper. They're the two end stars in the dipper. Instead of following a line toward Polaris, which is how they get their name, that's about maybe 4.5 or 5 times as far as the distance separating those two pointer stars, we'll be diverging just a bit to the right. That is, if we were on Dubi and facing Polaris, and a bit further than the distance between the two pointer stars. So going back to the scope, put Dubi back in the center of the finder scope. Then move the scope very slowly, looking in the finder, slightly to the right of a line toward Polaris, that is, toward the northwest. And a string of 4 stars in a very slightly curved arc, bowed toward Polaris, will come into view. They're a little bit brighter than the surrounding stars, but they kind of blend in a bit. But you should be able to pick them out. The stars are about 5th and 6th magnitude, which are actually faintly visible to the unaided eye in a good dark sky. So they should show up well in your finder scope. One of the 4 stars is off a little bit further than the others, and there's a star on the inside of the bow that kind of forms a triangle shape with them. Think of it as a bowstring being pulled back to launch an arrow, and that 5th star is where your hand would be holding the back end of the arrow and pulling the bowstring. Okay, center that bow of stars in the finder. It should take up most of the field of view. And you're about halfway toward M81 and M82 from Dubi now. Now take the 2 stars in that bow on the other end from the star that's further away from the others. So these are a little bit closer to each other. And imagine a very thin triangle with those 2 end stars in the bow forming the base and the apex or point of the triangle pointing the opposite direction from that star that marks the hand pulling the bowstring. Okay, Imagine this new triangle is about 6 or 7 times the length of the distance of those two stars that form the base. Now move the finder scope crosshairs right about where the apex would be. Now you'll reach a string of stars, a couple of which are about as bright as those two bow stars that we used for the base of the triangle. But these stars are in a rough line pointing back toward the bow. You'll probably have moved the bow stars just out of the finder scope's field of view to see those new stars. You're very close now. If the direction back from those new stars to the bow is 12 o'clock on a clock face, then move back from this line of stars toward about the 1 o'clock position, about the same distance as the separation of those two new stars. If you have a dark enough sky, you might just be able to glimpse a pair of faint, fuzzy spots in the finder. And that's M81 and M82. Regardless, now is the time to switch to the main eyepiece. Remember, use a nice low power when you're first trying to find something, about 50 power or less even. And let your eye adjust for a moment. If you don't see a small fuzzy spot or two in the field, try moving the scope very slightly around the area in kind of a circular motion until you can pick up one or both of these galaxies. Don't move it much more than a full diameter of the field of view, or you might get lost. And if you do get lost, just try to relocate that bow of 4 stars in the finder and try it again. You might have to go all the way back to Dubé, but don't worry, you'll find them. Well, you're likely to pick up either galaxy, but M81 is a bit bigger and brighter. They're close to each other, so with a very low-power eyepiece, once you've found one, you can move around the area slightly, only slightly, and pick up the other. M82 is cigar-shaped and the thinner of the two. M81 is a fatter oval spot. M82, the cigar, is about half a degree north of M81. Half a degree is roughly the field of view of a standard medium power eyepiece, very roughly. In the lowest power of my Hyperion Zoom eyepiece, they're visible together, but just on the edges of the field. That's about 50 power. So let's take a look at M81 first, the bigger, brighter one, the oval spot. You'll probably notice it gets brighter towards the center. You might also notice the two very faint stars within or just outside the galaxy's glow. In my 10-inch, in a semi-rural sky, they're just outside the visible glow. But in images, you'll see they're well within the glow. But these two stars are not actually in the galaxy. These are foreground stars in our own galaxy, much closer than the galaxy itself. But in 1993, there was a third star that formed a triangle with these two. And this third star was actually a star in M81 that had exploded. That's called a supernova. It was so bright that it was about as bright as the two stars in our own galaxy that you see now superimposed on the galaxy. That's bright, considering the galaxy is about 12 million light years away. This supernova was the second brightest in modern history. As a general rule, once you've gotten a galaxy or another object in view, you can switch to different eyepieces to see how different magnifications or powers show you more or less of an object. I think about 100 to 150 power is about ideal for most galaxies of this magnitude. Make sure you focus on a field star each time you switch powers or you switch eyepieces. Get the stars to be as small and point-like as possible. Sometimes the seeing or the steadiness of the atmosphere is not very good, and you just can't get them sharp. But do the best you can. Sometimes you lose the outer edges of a galaxy's glow and higher power. but it may be easier to see faint stars or other features because you have a larger image scale. Although it's one of the brighter galaxies in the sky at 7.3 magnitude, M81 doesn't give up too much detail until you get up around a 10-inch or larger telescope with a dark sky, at which point you can begin to see hints of some spiral structure to the glow. But think about what you're looking at now. See the bright core and the fainter surrounding glow. How would you describe the shape of the glow? Its orientation? Is there a pinpoint in the center of the galaxy, or just a brighter glow? Are there any dark lanes or bright spots within there? Make a note of any characteristics of the galaxy you can come up with to describe it to someone else. How would you describe this galaxy? Go ahead and play around with different powers, noting what detail, if any, that you can. In the meantime, I'll tell you a little bit more about M81. It was first noted by Johann Elert Bode in December 1774, along with M82. Charles Messier added it to his own catalog in 1781. M81 is about 12 million light years away, and it's part of a group of several galaxies, actually 30 or more, known as the M81 group. It's one of the closest groups of galaxies to our own. We'll be looking at three other galaxies in that group tonight. All four of them are embedded in a huge molecular gas cloud and are actually tidally interactive. M81 has an odd feature that you won't be able to see in the telescope, but that does show up in some images. It's like a thin, dark dust lane that cuts across the grain of the spiral structure, almost like perpendicular to the striations of the galaxy. This is thought to be one piece of evidence of a close encounter with its companion, M82, a few tens or maybe hundreds of millions of years ago, which sounds like a long time ago, but in cosmic time, it's actually pretty recently. When we look at M82, the evidence of this interaction will be even more apparent. Well, some astronomers believe that M81 contains a supermassive black hole at its core. And whether or not this is the case, it is the nearest spiral galaxy with an active galactic nucleus. The process of conversion of matter to energy at its core causes a huge jet of hot plasma to squirt out perpendicular to the plane of the disk, in this case toward the northeast. We won't see this jet in a backyard telescope, but it does show up in the radio spectrum. The black hole is believed to contain the mass equivalent of 70 million suns, and the plasma jet is traveling at around a quarter of the speed of light. These are what we call relativistic speeds. The black hole at the center of M81 would be about 15 times the size of the one at the center of our own galaxy, the Milky Way. This is one monster you really only want to observe from a distance. If you're not using a tracking motor on your telescope, you'll notice the galaxy drifts in one direction. That's the Earth rotating, actually. Because your scope is fixed to the ground, the sky and all the objects in it appear to drift through your field of view, unless you have a motor to move the scope at the same rate. The direction the galaxy drifts is west. Those two faint stars are toward the south, and continuing clockwise is east and then north, just to get you oriented again. Now let's move approximately one field of view to the north-northeast, and we'll pick up M82, an 8.9 magnitude cigar-shaped galaxy. Do you see it yet? Just move it around a little bit in the area if you can't pick it up right away. This is really an interesting one. It lies in a different orientation than M81, appearing more edge-on to us, and therefore thinner. spiral galaxies are flattened disks, and because they're tilted at different orientations, they can present quite different appearances. Apply the same scrutiny to M82 as you did to M81. Do you see a central glow? Any stars close in or even on top of it? Any brighter knots or dark markings? How about the orientation? Remember, west is the direction it's drifting. So therefore, it's oriented east-northeast to west-southwest. Have you noticed there seems to be more detail in this galaxy? We're seeing it more edge-on than M81, so the darker dust tends to be thicker, and we can discern more detail. But you have to look very carefully. The most prominent feature, other than its shape, is probably that dark lane that kind of pinches or even bisects the center of the galaxy. Can you make that out? Use your high power on this one. It's bright enough to go high up and still pick up a lot of detail. You can tell this is an irregular galaxy by the clumpiness and unevenness of its brightness across its length. It clearly suffered more disturbance from its encounter with its larger, more massive companion, M81. Images show that even more convincingly. It may have been a nice spiral once, but now it's classified as an irregular starburst galaxy. Close encounters with other galaxies often cause intense periods of star formation, triggered by the trauma of vast molecular clouds and other matter crashing into each other and compressing in the shock waves, such is the case here. The Hubble Space Telescope has also identified many globular clusters of stars that have formed relatively recently in M82. M82 is the nearest and best studied starburst galaxy. In the infrared spectrum, which we can't see with our limited vision that's adapted to the narrow visible light band emitted by the sun, M82 is actually the brightest galaxy in the sky. It also emits a prodigious amount of radiation in the radio spectrum, so it's a pretty noisy neighbor. Now let's go back to M81. Moving the scope back toward the south-southwest, as you move your scope back, you're actually traversing a distance of about 150,000 light years at the distance of these galaxies. According to my calculations, that would be about 1.25% of the distance from Earth. Imagine that, just a nudge of your telescope, and you're looking over a distance it takes light 150,000 years to travel. All I can say is, wow. Once you have M81 back in the field, look at those two faint stars we talked about earlier, and follow the direction they're pointing away from M81. Let's use around 75 to 100 power now. Switch your eyepieces. Pause the recording now if you need to make sure you have the right eyepiece in. Within the field, you'll see a brighter star that these faint stars point to. As you move away from the core of M81. It's one in a pair of stars close to each other in brightness and much brighter than those other two that are pointing toward it. We're going to use these stars to walk over to another much fainter galaxy, NGC 3077. I'll tell you more about NGC 3077 when we get there. So take these stars and make them the base of a triangle that points roughly east, that's away from the way things are drifting. And by the way, if you bump the power to about 150 or so, you'll see that the companion star forming the base is actually a double star. Pause the recording to put in a nice high power eyepiece and check out this double star. Well, this double star is designated Struve 1387. With both companions at 10.7 magnitude and a close separation of about 9 arcseconds, oriented east and west. The other bright star in this pair that we're using for the base of this triangle is also a double, Struve 1386, but with a much closer companion at only 2 arcseconds separation. Both components of that system are 9.5 magnitude. You'll need high power and steady seeing for that one, as it's much more difficult than Struve 1387. But getting back to forming our guiding triangle, with these two double stars as the base, and assuming the apex is pointing towards the east, away from the direction of drift, we'll call that direction 12 o'clock. M81 is over around the 2 or 230 position. So visualize the clock face there. So move in the 12 o'clock direction, which is away from where everything is drifting. And you'll pass a couple of fairly bright stars kind of on a diagonal line, one on each side of your path, as you nudge your scope east. Then you'll come upon 3 brighter stars, a bit more than twice the distance beyond that first pair. And these will probably just barely fit in the field of view, or nearly so. They form another triangle, the 3 stars there, with actually a 4th dimmer star outside the long base on the side from whence you came, which is west. Just off the furthest star in that bright triangle, the furthest one east, is NGC 3077. Do you see its faint round glow just to the star's south-southeast? It's smaller than M81 and M82 and dimmer at 10.5 magnitude. Look slightly away from it to see it better. That's called using averted vision. Look perhaps a quarter or maybe a third of the radius of the field of view away from it. Again, apply the same scrutiny to this galaxy. Can you make out a core? Is it star-like or not? Any details? You may not see much in the way of detail beyond shape, maybe degree of brightening towards the center, and perhaps any very subtle variations in brightness across the galaxy's glow. You can pause it here, try to pick up that galaxy and look at it a little bit. NGC 3077 is another irregular galaxy. Like M82, it has some dark dust clouds and a disturbed structure, again likely caused by interaction with M81 or its other neighbors. Everything out there is moving, and with the added attraction of gravity, things do collide. When that happens on such a grand scale, the effects can be enormous. You can pause the recording now if you need more time on NGC 3077. Well, there's a 4th galaxy of interest in this area, NGC 2976. This is the furthest from M81. We'll find it by going back to M81. So retrace your steps using the lowest power eyepiece you have so you don't get lost. Put M81 in the center of your field. You can pause the recording here to get back to M81. Okay, now we're back on M81. Do you see the 2 faint stars really close in again that we used to point to that base of our triangle? And the brighter pair that forms that base with that close double? That brighter pair is to the south of M81. Now let's make that pair of stars again the base of a thin triangle, but this time the apex is pointing in the opposite direction from NGC 3077. That is, toward the west-southwest, almost due west, toward the direction things are drifting. About twice the distance of those base stars from M81 in a west-southwest direction is a fainter star that has an even fainter companion on the other side of it, very close to it. Let's say the direction that we just walked to that star is 12 o'clock. On the face of a clock. Now let's move toward 3 o'clock, or to the south-southeast. That It's 90 degrees from the direction we were going. And you'll see another star of about the same magnitude as that last one. These two stars and the base stars that we started from form roughly a right angle. Now, slightly shorter than the length of that last line segment, in the direction continuing away from our base stars, which may still be in your field of view if you're in low power, there's another pair of stars very close to each other, one a little dimmer than the other. Draw a line in your mind from the previous star to this pair. Okay? Then extend that line out in the same direction you've been moving, about three times as far. Just offset to the south of that line, you'll pick up another faint, fuzzy 10.6 magnitude glow. That's NGC 2976. Now don't worry if you can't find it on the first try. Just rewind a little bit, try it again. Go back to M81 if you have to. You can pause the recording here. But once again, apply the same scrutiny to this galaxy, which is the dimmest of the four we've seen tonight. Put in your high-power eyepiece. Can you make out the very dim star just off the west-southwest edge of the galaxy, very close in? How would you compare this galaxy to NGC 3077 and the others? To me, this is more of a distinct oval, and the glow is fairly uniform across the galaxy. I don't see any core to it, but I do make out some hints of modeling in my 10-inch. NGC 2976 is another peculiar galaxy, a dwarf spiral, disturbed by the tidal forces of interaction with the other galaxies in this group. The dark lanes and clumps of matter are difficult to discern in smaller telescopes, but take a look using higher powers and see if there's anything you can make out. Remember, when we look into these galaxies, we're looking at billions of stars, all clustered together, but at huge distances from us. Well, we've probably stressed our eyeballs enough for now. If you'd like, try to navigate back among the other galaxies until you feel like you know these star oases better. These four galaxies are by no means the only members of the M81 galaxy group, and in fact, the second largest member, NGC 2403, is located more than 13 degrees away in the sky in the constellation Camelopardalis. And that one's definitely worth checking out too if you have a chart to find it. And there are about 30 main members of this M81 galaxy group. An interesting project would be to see how many of them you can observe. Just remember, always take your time, relax, and enjoy your time out walking among the stars.